Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. The history of the holiday jam with the Hegg brothers actually begins with a South Dakota acoustic Christmas. Jeremy and John Hegg spent December in 2006, 2007, 2008 touring with the popular group. After a South Dakota acoustic Christmas retired in 2008, the Holiday Jam was born. The Hegg brothers pull from an immensely talented network of musicians and tour the state each December, reimagining, revitalizing, and reinventing Christmas music as we know it. The result is always changing, always innovative, and almost always sold out. We're broadcasting live today from our studios at the University of Sioux Falls. The studios is packed with musicians who will play for you live, but first, let's meet them. Welcome to Dakota Midday, Jeremy Hegg. Thanks for
being here. Hi, Lori.
I can't quite talk today, so you're going to have to play lots of music to cover for that.
I can't talk any day.
And John Hegg is here with us as well. There he is. And then we also have Christopher Smith on guitar. Christopher, welcome.
Well, thank you.
Jeremy, let's start with you and say you've already started playing.
Yes.
How's it going so far?
Good. It's a lot of fun. We have some different people this year because of just availability, to be honest. And so we're having a good time getting to know them and how they fit into the group and how they fit into Holiday Jam.
So
it's going very well.
Give us the lineup.
Well, we have... There's John and I on keyboards. We have Andrew Reinhardt on bass and Christopher on guitar. We have our good buddy Derek Hengeveld back from Albuquerque on the drums. We also have three horns, Matt Wallace on the tenor saxophone, Joel Shotwell on about every other woodwind instrument, and then Jim Spears plays trumpet and flugelhorn. And you're all familiar with Jimmy and Joel and some of their jazz playing in the South Dakota area. Also, we have two new members. Jamie Lynn from the Black Hills is a singer and also playing some of her own music, as well as accompanying on banjo and guitar. And then we also have Christian Zamora, who has played for a while in the South Dakota Symphony, who's joining us on violin, and if you want to call it that, South Dakota's state instrument, the fiddle.
A different lineup, a lineup of incredibly talented musicians, conservatory. I think somebody has a PhD in engineering or something.
Yes, our drummer does.
So what's it like, what's it been like to work with that particular group then?
We're lucky we have talented friends that don't mind hanging out with us in December. That's good.
It actually went smooth, though, the rehearsals and all that, the first couple shows and whatnot. I personally had never played with Jamie before, and so it was actually a nice change of pace.
How is that possible that you guys have never played with Jamie Lynn before?
Because she's so busy on her own.
Yeah, scheduling. It's the other side of the state. For instance, some of the players in the band have done a lot of work with Jamie and recorded on her albums and done many things on both sides of the state. It's just that some of the other players in our network that are from out of state had never met her. I mean, they met her for the first time. We'd have these email dialogues, a couple phone calls, but the first time they met her was Monday when we showed up for our first rehearsal.
And give me your first impressions of working with her for the first time.
Well, I have worked with her before, but I'll let you guys answer that. What are your impressions about Jamie, guys?
Christopher, first time sitting down with Jamie Lynn, what was that like?
She is the real deal when it comes to singing and songwriting. That's about all there is to it.
It's crystal clear voice, and she was prepared. And I was impressed by, because she also plays guitar and banjo. I was impressed because she's usually a solo player at her readiness to not overplay the songs instrumentally. Because in a 10-piece band, you've got a lot of other people to rely on, and sometimes the tendency is to just strum and do all this rhythm, but you're like, you don't need to because you've got a drummer. You don't need to. So her sparseness and the way that she just kind of waded herself into the tunes, because I'm right next to her and looking at her as we are rehearsing and such, that impressed me because it meant that her genuine intuitiveness toward music is something that's pure and on the right page.
I want to make sure we get to some music. So set us up and tell us what we're going to hear first today.
Well, we thought we'd turn Christopher loose on a good old Irving Berlin tune. I have a little tidbit about Irving Berlin after this song is done. Everyone knows this one. It's called I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm.
The snow is snowing and the wind
is blowing, but I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm. I can't remember a worse December. Just watch those icicles form. What do I care how icicles form? I've got my love to keep me warm. Off with my overcoat, off with my glove. I need no overcoat, I'm burning with love. My heart's on fire and the flames get higher. So I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I got my love to keep me warm. I think you ought to know my heart is on fire and the flame gets higher. So I will weather. What do I care how much it may storm? I got my love to keep me warm. I got my love to keep me warm.
Yeah. All right, you're listening
appropriate for today.
Yeah.
You're listening to Dakota Midday. Our guests, Jeremy Haig, John Haig, Christopher Smith, Haig Brothers Holiday Jam. Jeremy, you have an Irving Berlin story
for
us.
And we're not doing that song this year, by the way. We just thought we'd do it this morning for you guys.
Here's
the thing about Irving Berlin. You know how harps have pedals so you can change the notes?
Yes.
Irving Berlin could only play piano in this key. But he just taught himself. He didn't learn any of the other keys. So he had a piano made. This is how rich he got. He just had a piano made that could switch to any key with these pedals. That way he could just only had to learn in his whole life how to play in one key. And he wrote all those songs.
Really?
All these songs just with one piano, just playing in one key, switching it all around to fool us using a bunch of pedals.
That's remarkable.
I'm amazed it was
in tune. The engineering of making that piano is what's remarkable. How do you?
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. I want one of those
in C. Yeah, I do too. It would make things a lot easier.
Take me inside a rehearsal. Tell me what that, paint me a picture of what rehearsals are like.
Well, here's what happens. I do the arranging for the group. I send music out, usually like parts that everybody can put on tablets. You know, we're all using things like iPads now to use our music. There's not a lot of printed music anymore in the show. And so we have time to work on it before we get together, but once we do get together, there's just 3 full days of rehearsal, and that's it.
Wow.
And so the trick is the first day to get through everything and make sure we know what songs we're doing. And then we just clean it up and get more comfortable with
it. You got to feel each other out. You know, that's part of the thing is I half work on stuff before I get to rehearsals. So that when I hear what everybody else is doing, I understand what my role is.
Yeah.
Sure. You don't over-prepare.
I don't want to have it
for
down
a reason,
and then get there and be like, nah, it's just, that doesn't work.
You know? You could waste a lot of time doing that.
Yeah.
Now, you're all from Del Rapids. This is the Del Rapids crew here today.
Yeah.
Did you know each other from Christopher? How long have you known John and Jeremy?
I started hanging out with Jeremy in about third grade.
Okay.
Or so.
Not that long.
We started recording music together pretty soon after that.
That was like that second week.
Yeah. Which involved just a tape recorder sitting on a piano, basically, and making noise.
I remember hearing that stuff.
Yeah.
I think I told my mom, hey, Mom, I'm going to go stay over at Christopher's and we're going to record some music. And she went, you're going to go stay with who and you're going to do what? Then after about 10 years of it, she learned not to question that impulse anymore.
What do you think at such a young age, Christopher just brought you in with music and said you want to do it at that level? Most kids learn a little bit and either go away or come closer to it, but they don't think about recording in elementary school. I mean, I know you're right. Somewhat joking, but you're not joking about really experimenting with that in elementary school.
No. I, from a very young age, I liked recording things. Like, I got a tape recorder at age 5,
yeah,
and I just started recording stuff. So I've always been into that. I still do it to this day. I work up in Minneapolis with my cousins. They have a little studio, and
yeah,
we're doing it all the time.
Were you unafraid to sort of, we talked to a poet earlier, said she, you know, didn't worry about the learning process, about being kind of bad. Is that part of learning music and becoming a professional musician, is accepting the fact that there's going to be a long period of time where you, it doesn't mm-hmm. sound like you know
yeah.
that you want it to sound.
You have to be bad for a long time.
There used to be
no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, there used to be a joke that in order to be in a good band someday, you have to be in a garage band that's just terrible.
Yeah.
How do you get past that?
You spend time on it like about anything else. It's like how someone learns to speak Arabic. You know, you just, you don't know it the first day. You have to keep spending time on it.
I actually had a conversation with one of the better chefs in town one day, and he just, it's like, when did you know that you could execute music on this level? And I said, it was a certain day where all of a sudden it made sense to me that I knew the difference.
Hmm.
It didn't mean I could play it yet, but I knew I wasn't playing it right if I didn't. And so you just know the difference. And he said it was the same thing with him with cooking.
And
so
that's
it's an interesting parallel.
But that's the moment you don't quit either.
Nope, that's the moment that you know that you have to reach further.
Who inspired you to do that?
Just what we do on our own, you know. Plus it was already my living at the time that moment really hit.
Really?
So it's like, in order to survive, part of it was I just needed to keep grabbing and wanted to push for limits that I didn't see executed. My main thing is I didn't ever want somebody to say, you guys are good for being local.
Hmm.
That to me is an insult. I wanted to be good.
I just want to be good at it.
Yeah, just want to be good. I want to be as good as I just saw a few nights ago a really good group play, and it didn't mystify me at all. I looked at it and I thought, we understand that, and we're 90% of the way there. And he did one of the songs that we did last year in our show, and I was like, our version might have been better.
Nice. Jeremy, do you ever stumble or falter now at this point in your career?
Physically, yes. Metaphorically.
Every time we load in.
Metaphorically, even more often. Yeah, although we, like with this project in general, we now know from faltering in the past, we're trying some songs that just ended up being clunkers. You know, they didn't have the impact we thought they would have on stage. And we didn't know that till we tried it. The audience just kind of looking at their watches and yawning and things. We went, wow, we're not doing that one again. But I think in the last few years, we've had a pretty good formula. So most of the music is entertaining, and there's a logic to how the show is put together. That's also stuff that you get used to doing.
Yeah.
And you also get used to addressing the crowd as a narrator, you know, or as an MC almost. Those are all things that you gain from experience, too.
I want to talk about that relationship with the audience here in a minute, but
sure.
First let's have some more music.
Oh, you got it. Let's do.
What's up next?
We're going to do, this is a great version of Silent Night that we are doing in this year's show that was done. This will be all these songs, of course, sound different with 7 more people.
Right.
But this is Christopher's arrangement of Silent Night. Silent night,
Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy
Thank you. I'm getting emails right now about how wonderful that that is. Our guests today on Dakota Midday, Jeremy Haig, Christopher Smith, John Haig, the Holiday Jam with the Haig Brothers. We need to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Holiday Jam with the Haig Brothers in just a couple minutes. You're listening to Dakota Midday, SDPB Radio. Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. With me in the studio now are musicians from Holiday Jam with the Haig Brothers, Jeremy Haig, John Haig, Christopher Smith are all here. Jeremy, I wanted to talk to you about the audiences and all three of you, actually. How much does the show sort of depend on the reaction and the collaboration you get with a live audience?
There's an obvious answer, and just that when you play live in front of people, that's the feedback is undeniable. It gives you energy. I mean, that's the reason people perform. I mean, rather than just rehearse, and so it's a blast. Some of these audiences, we've done enough of these sites, going on 8 years now, and so we're used to the quirks that happen around the state at some of the audiences. They're different. Like the room in the Orpheum Theater in Sioux Falls on that last show on Sunday the 18th. That last Sunday is always a hot, sweaty, loud, vibrant time because they're raucous. Sitting right on top of you. It's a raucous crowd. Whereas the night before at the Pavilion, it's a lovely crowd, but that's just more of the majesty of the hall and just more people. And then when we play in Brookings, it's more of an arena concert setting, and that has its own different type of fun. You feel like you're just projecting to a much bigger audience when you do that. We have other rooms that are smaller theaters, and those are fun because you can play songs like that last song, the Silent Night. We can play it breathtakingly quiet, and it's really fun to play quiet. It's not like a bar where people are talking, and there's no reward in playing softly.
Sure.
And so that's really rewarding, too.
Well, and the other thing is, we assume that we know quite a bit about music and how to put this stuff together. If the audience is coming, they're right.
Yeah.
Their response is right. If they're paying money to come and see your show, you have to play for them. And you don't just, you know, snub your nose to that. You have to listen to them and feel them out.
Yeah. That was the gist of a book that Aaron Copland wrote about the artist and the audience. His point was, yeah, they're right. If they boo you, they're right. I mean, it might be uncomfortable, and you might prove right in the long run, but at that moment, they're correct, you know, so you've got to Either own it or you got to figure out something different to do. One fun thing about this year's show, Jamie has a wonderful rapport with the audience that's different than the way we approach things. So she's going to do a little storytelling too.
She was more of a solo artist than the other two ladies that we've had sing with us, so she's used to doing that talking to the audience
storyteller.
A little bit more.
Speaking of the audience, let's play something else for them now.
You got it. Okay, so, you know, this was a really rough year for musicians dying. Mm-hmm. There were so many famous ones that passed away. Some
we're doing Purple Rain.
We're not doing Purple Rain, John. By the way, that line got a big laugh in Sheldon, Iowa. I want you to know, for some reason, they thought the thought of us doing Purple Rain and John announcing it was just hilarious. So this is one that, if you remember that TV special that Bing Crosby and David Bowie did, it's the Indeed. Only time they ever met. Yeah. And then about a month later, before this aired on TV, Bing Crosby passed away somewhat unexpectedly. And so this one has a warm spot in our hearts, and it features David Bowie, who just passed away earlier this year. So I'll see if we can do this. We've never done it just with two of us. We'll see if it works.
Come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. A newborn king to see, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see. Our see the day of glory. We'll see the day when man of goodwill live in peace again. Peace on earth. Every child must be made aware. Every child must be made to care. Care enough for his fellow man to give all the love that he can. I pray my way come true. I for my child and your child too. He'll see my the drum day for him, of glory. I'll see my the best day for him, when man of goodwill live in peace again. Peace on earth. Can he in my drum? Can it be?
Thank you. Jeremy Haig, Christopher Smith, John Haig are our guests today, Holiday Jam with the Haig Brothers on tour now. Where can we find all those dates? Because there's a lot of them.
HolidayJam.com.
CD this year?
Yeah, and there's a new CD from last year's show. Yeah. It's fantastic. So that will be for the people that miss some of the great performers we've had in years past in the band. Yeah. They're on that.
You relentlessly surprise me.
Good.
Every year, every CD, there's a surprise. Do you ever surprise yourselves? Or do you ever feel like, okay, it's Christmas again, we have to sort of reinterpret something?
Sure.
Come naturally to you? Is that just like breathing?
Jeremy makes the charts and gets all the stuff ready in advance, and I'm the one who puts the album together and whatnot. There's certain times where, and I usually take my time. I go from, you know, you do a quick start in January, and you wait till about March or April to really get into stuff so you have enough distance. But there are times where I sit there and frankly, it gets to me. That how lucky I am to be part of a group like this. It's something there'll be a certain passage of music where I was just like, holy cow, that was good.
And it for me, arranging's one thing, but once you hear the players get things in their hands and then just make it their own, whatever instrument they're playing, sometimes you go, well, I knew they were good. I didn't know they were that good. Wow.
Every year it gets to me, too. So thank you from all of us to all of you. Thank you.
Much obliged.
Thank you.
We'll do a favorite that we get asked to do every single year.
There we go.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one.